former NFL coach, Super Bowl winning coach, at the as we are about to start the new NFL season, training camp right underway. Brian Billick is with us. Brian, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. And, you know, at this time of year, even though it's been a while since you've been coaching, I've been asking this to players, to former players and coaches lately. Do the juices start automatically flowing knowing the training camp is about to start? Is it like, you know, I know when every time, you know, the start of the football season for me as a fan, I get excited. As a former coach, are the juices starting to flow knowing in the past you would have been starting training camp around now?
Yeah, you live an entire life, professional life, with a certain rhythm to the seasons, and this time of year is like when you're normally starting up. So yeah, even now, with all the 12 years I've been out of it, there's a part of it that is going, boy, it's just, you know, it feels like I shouldn't be playing golf and fishing right now. There should be something else going on. But in terms of the excitement, yeah, I got to get a little closer to the beginning of the season for me to really get, you know, cranked up into it. Obviously, I'm going to follow training camps to a degree. But, yeah, it is that time of year. And the best part is, you know, it's close.
Yeah. What is the thing you missed, if anything, what is it that you miss most about coaching?
Well, the relationship with the players and the coaches and just the day-to-day, you know, taking on that challenge with them. I mean, it is a grind, and I certainly don't miss that. But the relationships that you build, particularly in training camp, where that begins, and you start to build that team vibe, that you don't get that in too many places. And you enjoy the challenge of rebuilding that team mentality, because every year it's like a marriage. I mean, you got to, every year it's new. You know, every year you got to keep it fresh. You can't just assume that you're going to have that kind of relationship on the team that you had last year that's successful. So you got to keep working at it.
You know, the game has changed so much, even from when you were coaching, and it hasn't been, obviously 12 years, it hasn't been that long, right? Certainly it's changed miles since, you know, Paul Brown was coaching many years ago and all the generations since that. But it in a way, I mean, do you look at it as tougher or easier to coach now? I mean, obviously guys are in better shape going into camp than they were certainly years ago. But there's also the players certainly have more power now, their ability to, you know, to maybe not as much in football, but certainly like in basketball, guys can force their way out of teams and stuff. But, you know, with I don't even know if you can coach the same as you did back then, right? How has it changed, do you think? And is it harder or easier to coach now than it used to be, you think?
You know, at the end of the day, it's still the game. The other stuff you're alluding to is the peripheral stuff. And yes, that is part of your job as a coach to deal with, and it's constantly changing. And you know, the me generation and all the branding that they want to do, and that kind of goes counter, is counterintuitive to the idea of team. But when you actually get on the field, you actually start putting the team together, it really hasn't changed all that much. I mean, the parameters, yeah, the athletes are tremendous, and some of the schematic and technical things you're doing may be a little bit different. But at the end of the game, it's the same game, and that's what makes it so great. And the things that you've got to do to be good, I think, are the same as they've been in years past.
Super Bowl champion winning head coach Brian Billick is with us. Brian, when you look at the NFL's announcement today saying that you know, if a team can't play a game because unvaccinated players have caused an outbreak, that game could, if it can't be replayed within the 18 weeks, that the game will be forfeited and both teams will not get paid. Do you think this will get the result that they want, which is more players to get vaccinated? And how would, from your perspective as a former coach, how would you deal with this in terms of the players?
I think this is just another step by the league to ensure that its players and its organizations are safe. I applaud them for doing that. Yes, it is a demand. It is infringing on the individual civil liberties of the players. Yeah, probably. But it's a privilege to play in the NFL, not a right. And there's certain things that you have to do on behalf of the collective that you are a part of. And in today's game, if that means getting vaccinated to ensure that those in the organization and those that you're competing with are in the safest environment possible, I think it makes absolute sense. And players are going to have to make that decision as we all have to do at a given point, going, am I going to give up some of my individual civil liberties for the collective good? And that's as simple as that.
You know, getting on the field, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, I think to a lot of people, are ahead of Baker Mayfield in terms of those quarterbacks from that draft. Obviously, the other two guys, Darnold and Rosen, are kind of off the list at this point. But, you know, here we feel like, well, at least I feel personally, that all three, we don't know what they're long, like how good they are. I think they all have something still to prove. When it comes to the contracts of these three guys, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, how comfortable would you be paying them now versus waiting one more year, a fourth year, to see, you know, what they look like in that fourth season?
Well, you always want more information, and you always want that tincture of time that says, yeah, let me see him do it one more time. But if you do that, the prices have to be higher as well.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a cost-benefit ratio here. Those are the three dynamic quarterbacks, each doing a little bit differently. Baker really matured last year, which I think was a big part of their success. And even though he's that gunslinger and wants to have that mentality, he learned, I loved it when he said late in the season, you know, I think about saying or doing something stupid, and then I don't. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Yeah.
And then that maturity. And Kevin Stefanski's done a great job of saying, look, this is the way we can win. You know, you still got to be that guy, and you still got to be, you know, what are they saying in golf? Never up, never in. You know, you got to be able to want to pull the trigger. But you also have to be able to read the room and recognize what is it my team needs for me to do. So I think he improved a lot. Josh Allen was spectacular in what he – and we know that Lamar Jackson is just truly a unicorn. So these are three very unique players. They're going to get paid in varying degrees to a degree. But the final, tincture of time and winning a championship, that's what remains for them all.
The big advantage that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have had over Baker is that they've had the same coach and coordinator for 3 years in a row, where Baker's had three different – in fact, Baker's had four different head coaches. But now, for the first time, Baker will have the same head coach, the same coordinator, and essentially the offensive roster is exactly the same as last year. How big will that be for him for the first time as opposed to those other guys who have had that 3 years in a row?
Huge. That continuity allows you – the point from which you begin is so much further down the road, so much more advanced than it is when you're going through the coaching changes and coordinator changes and personnel changes. It's why good teams often remain good, because that's their starting point, and that should be a great advantage for Cleveland this year.
It's a tricky spot that Matt LaFleur is in with Green Bay and this Aaron Rodgers situation. You have a great quarterback, a future Hall of Famer, who is obviously unhappy. We don't know if he's going to show up to training camp. We don't know what's going to happen. If you were Matt LaFleur, what would you do here in this spot? What would you say? I mean, it might be tricky because you don't maybe know every last detail. But what would you say to Aaron Rodgers to try to get him back with the team?
Well, this time of year, we're always talking about some high-profile player that's holding out. Okay, now, this one takes it to the extreme. It's Aaron Rodgers, MVP, future Hall of Famer, all the things you outlined. And it's the Green Bay Packers. I imagine with Matt LaFleur, and you've got to be careful. As the coach, you've got to kind of stay arm's length from it, because you don't want to get drawn into the emotion and the drama of it, because eventually, conceivably, the player's going to come back and play, and you've got to maintain that relationship. I would be shocked if they're not communicating with one another to a certain degree in terms of, you know, how they're going to navigate through this, however it turns out, and because that is, at the end of the day, that relationship has to be maintained if you're going to have any kind of success going forward. And, you know, my mentor Denny Green always used to say there's a time for pay and there's a time for play. And up to now, it's been a time for pay. Now it's time for play. The sooner they can get to that, the better.
Brian Billick with us. Brian, when you the old adage is defense wins championships. Does that still apply in 2021?
Well, it certainly helps. But with the rules the way they are now, the dynamic play and the depth of good quarterback play in this league, I don't know that that's necessarily true, but it certainly helps if you can bring that good, solid defense in conjunction with the offensive play that you get out of the quarterback position and offensively. So it's probably got to be a little bit more balanced than that, because I think the rules and everything about it make it too difficult for a team that's just defensive based to be a championship unless you have some level of productivity offensively.
I know that, you know, his rookie year he didn't play. He played the one game, Patrick Mahomes, at the end of 2017. But his first 3 years as a starter in the league at ages 23, 24, 25, he's thrown Mahomes has thrown 114 touchdowns, 23 picks, and averaged about 310 yards per game. Have you ever seen a guy this good this soon? I mean, we've seen a lot of great quarterbacks. You've certainly seen a lot of great quarterbacks. Is he the best after 3 years?
Wow. As my friend Ozzie Newsom used to say, he lives on the same cul-de-sac as those guys that you want to put in that conversation. He's been spectacular. And again, like Lamar Jackson, all but different. It's just so unique in the way that he does it. It's so special. And Andy Reid's done such a great job of wrapping that offense around the unique personality of a Patrick Mahomes. So yeah, it's one for the record books. And, there again, like those other guys you talked about, it's just a matter of tincture of time, the path that they're on. Plus, he already has that championship.
You mentioned Ozzie Newsom, who, of course, is a legend for you guys and also a legend here in Cleveland as a player. I'm curious, if Ozzie was playing now instead of when he did in the late 70s into the 80s and the early 90s, would he be putting, because tight ends didn't, for the most part, put up big numbers like some of the elite guys do now. Is he like Travis Kelce? I mean, is he putting up 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns a season if he's playing now instead of then?
Yeah, I think there's no question. His abilities to maneuver and get open and great catching radius that he had. Yeah, there's no reason to think that he couldn't play at that level. It's always interesting to talk about, particularly in today's rules and the nature of the game and the way they throw the ball, some of the talent that came before. I heard someone the other day, it was great, they were talking about the great Jim Brown. And they said, okay, if Jim Brown were playing in the NFL today, how many yards would he rush for? And the guy said, he can rush for 50, 60 yards. And I guess, are you kidding me, Jim Brown? Do you think he'd only rush for 50 or 60 yards? He says, Jim Brown's 85 years old. That's pretty darn good. You know, it's always fun to talk about those types of comparisons. But no, I think Ozzie Newsom would be spectacular in today's game.
You know, it's funny, speaking of another old-timer, not quite as old as Jim Brown, but Bo Jackson, this came up last week. You know, I'm 50, so I'm old enough to have seen Bo Jackson play, but I think for the people that are not old enough to have seen Bo Jackson play, they just look at his statistics for a couple of years in the league, and you look at his stats, and you're like, I mean, his yards per carry was great, but you look at his total numbers, and you're like, what's so special about Bo Jackson? I'm like, I saw Bo Jackson play. I realize if he had just played football and if he had just stayed healthy, I said he'd be one of the greatest backs of all time. Am I going too far, or am I right about that?
No. Spectacular talent. And you're right. Yeah, they've been more focused just on football and not the other things and the continuity and getting with a good team. Yeah, just a spectacular talent. No, there's no reason to think he wouldn't be right in that conversation.
All right, let's talk about X-Tech pads, the shoulder pads, the best in the business, right?
They are. It's been fun over the last 9 years to watch this company grow and to be a part of it. And we're the number one pad in the NFL right now. And the number one pad in college football. Teams like Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon, Auburn. And we're now becoming the number one pad in high school football. The major programs, Modern Day, De La Salle, Bishop Gorham, St. Thomas Aquinas, all replete with X-Tech pads. Why? Because they're the best pads in the business. Everything has changed so much. We talk about the advance in the game. You know, we got GPS tracking and iPads and the way these guys are learning. Shoulder pads hadn't changed in 40 years until X-Tech pads. They're basically personally designed. In the old days, big guys got big pads and little guys got little pads. Not anymore.
Right.
It's based on your position, your height, your weight, your injury history. It's why it's the number one pad in NFL, number one pad in college football, and available now to high school players at xtechpads.com and at xtechpads on Instagram.
We appreciate the time, Brian. Thank you for joining us.
Sounds good.
All right, Brian Billick.